things. You can put one in there. You can put a bulletin in one, a finger in one, whatever you need. We're going to read three different places. And just like always, I'll have scripture all throughout my sermon. But anyway, we're going to read in three different places and look at it tonight. And of course, just like always, when I'm preaching, I try to use the phrase "we need to" instead of "you need to," because just like it all the time, if you got one pointing out there, there's three pointing right back here, and that emphasizes. And so the title of the sermon tonight is "Let the Power of God," or "Let the Power of My Lord Be Great." Let the power of my Lord be great. And as far as introduction, we know that the power of God is powerful. And we, of course, the Bible talks about we ought to stand in awe of it. We ought to have respect for it, things like that. But there are some little bitty, maybe not insignificant, I don't like to use that word, but there's little bitty things that can stop the power of God. Just our doubt can stop the power of God. And we're going to see that tonight. God was ready and willing to do something magnificent, powerful, to make people stand in awe, and then just a little bit of doubt, stop the power. And so maybe just like doubt can stop the almighty power of God, then our unwillingness sometimes. God's right there ready to fix the problem or help give you the solution, and just our unwillingness to listen or our unwillingness to do what He says stops the power of God. And I can just keep on going. You get the point. Our doubt, our unwillingness, maybe our pride, our stubbornness, all those things can stop the most powerful thing in the entire universe and the, you know, everything, God. And so that's what we're going to see here tonight, that He was saying right here in these three different places. So let's go to Numbers 14. That's the Old Testament. Numbers 14. Stick a finger, a bulletin, your Hot Wheel that you're playing with. Stick something there, and then go to 1 Corinthians 10. So Numbers 14, 1 Corinthians 10. I'm still hearing pages, so I'll wait. Numbers 14, Old Testament, real close to the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, and then Hebrews 3. I'm sure Brother Larry uses that joke before. You know, the ladies always say the men ought to make the coffee because the Bible says so. Hebrews. All right, so there's your Brother Larry. All right, so we got three places. Numbers 14, 1 Corinthians 10, and Hebrews 3. And so we'll start in verse 17 of Numbers 14. So I should have went in reverse order. So Numbers 14, and we'll start in verse 17, and then we're going to look back ahead of that and see some context here. But in verse 17... this is where we get the phrase of the title of the sermon, "Let the power of my Lord be great." So we have to let it be great. Don't stop it with doubt. Don't stop it with unwillingness. Don't stop it with disobedience. Don't stop it with pride. God wants to do great things for us. And He's got the answers. And He will deliver. He will make it possible. He will protect. He will do all the things that the power of God can do. And we probably could give testimony for the rest of the night of how we have seen the power of God. But sometimes we stop it with those things that we talk about. So verse 17, it says here, "And now I beseech thee." He was begging them, "Listen, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying." So again, we see Moses was telling them, you know, let him be great. Let the power be there. Don't let it be stopped by those things that we talked about. So let's look at verse 2 of that same chapter, and we're going to see some things that stop the power of God here. In verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel. So this is when they've been delivered. They've been following Moses for a while, but because of their unbelief, that's why it wasn't that God had a problem. It took God 40 years to work up the strength and work up the power to deliver them and to give them what He promised. It was their unwillingness. It was their doubt. It was their problem. again, God's sitting right there on His throne and saying, "Hey, I can fix that problem if you'll let me. I can give you the answer if you'll let me." And verse 2 says here, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses." Okay, and again, I'm okay with this, but it's, you know, if there's unsuccessful at a church, it's always the preacher's fault, right? Because it's him. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. So they said, you know, the reason that we haven't made it into the promised land is not our doubt, it's not our disobedience, it's not our unbelief, it's that preacher we got. I just thought I'd bring that out. But anyway, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, even the assistant pastor, those are the ones that's helping the preacher. And it says here, "And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt." So they were all excited about growing and going and you know, serving God, things like that. And they get out there, they face a little bit of obstacles, and they're ready to just kill the preachers, go back into slavery. And it says here, "Would God we had died in the wilderness." Again, that's kind of a bad place to be. Throwing your hands up, wish we had just died. Why? Because there's the power of God right there. And the power of God could have delivered them, gave them what they needed and things like that, but they were just, you know, murmuring. So in verse 2, we see here they murmured. It's always something. And they made it sound worse. Again, it has to be pretty bad that they said, "We wish we'd just died in the wilderness." So anytime that we're murmuring, usually we embellish, over-exaggerate, things like that. Now look at verse 4. Not only were they murmuring, we see, secondly, in verse 4, that they were mulling over a new plan. So again, just because, you know, God hadn't showed up, God must have lost His power. We're still out here 40 years in the wilderness, and it's that preacher's fault, and I wish we'd have just died. And so they're like, "Okay, now what should we do?" In verse 4 it says, "And they said one to another, Let us make a captain." In other words, not this man that God gave us. Let's choose somebody of our own choosing. "And let us return unto Egypt." So they're mulling over a new plan and to do their own thing. And usually when we mull over a new plan, especially when it comes to God's plan, we get ourselves in trouble. A lot of people, you know, they hear the word, you know, the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I don't agree with that. That just doesn't make sense to me. So let's mull over a new plan. Let's let our works outweigh our good works outweigh our bad works, and we'll get to heaven that way. Or let's get, you know, baptized till we shrivel up and look like we've been in the pool all day long, and then that'll get us into heaven. Or let's light enough candles, or let's give enough money. They mull over new plans. That's what we do when we just let the power of God be the power of God. God says, "I'll save you if you'll just repent of your sins, ask me to save you, and let the power of God work." But they're like, "Nah, we don't want to do it that way. So let's mull over a new plan." We see that, you know, Moses was just saying, "Let God's power be God's power." Not only did they murmur, they mulled over a new plan. Then look at verses 5 through 10. And we see here, this was their mistake. So verse 5 says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel." So now the preachers are coming to them saying, "Guys, all right, God is still God. All right, He will bless us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. And don't you remember all the things that He's done?" They're falling on their faces saying, "Listen, let's not doubt away God's power. Let's not murmur away God's power. Let's not complain away God's power. Let's definitely don't try to say, 'God, we don't need You. We'll make up our own plan here.' Let's don't do that, please." They fell before Him. And on their faces, the congregation, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, and the son of that fellow, which were with them. And it says here, "They searched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which was passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land." And so now they're telling them, look, God's already promised us this. Verse 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land." So it's up to us. If we'll just be right, if we'll be where God can bless us, and we'll live the way where God's power can be released, He will give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Again, just like I've seen parents of wayward teenagers, I've been in the room where the parents were crying their eyes out, saying, "Don't do this." All right? God will bless you. God will provide for you. God will, just please don't. Right? They're begging them. I've seen, again, being in counseling rooms where people were fixing to, turn their back on God, get divorced or do whatever. And they, they've murmured, they've mulled, and they've made a new plan. Forget God. And there's the power of God that could have fixed it. There's the power of God that could have helped. There's the power of God that could have led. And because of their murmuring or their complaining, they just said, forget it. I got a new plan. I'm going to do this. It's not going to work. Okay, God's power is just sitting there. I could have helped. I could have done that. And they're begging them. Said, look, God has given us all this. And it goes and it says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither ye the people of the land, or fear ye the people of the land. I know they're giants, I know that, but God's bigger. For they their bread is for us. Their defense is departed from them. God's making it where we can go. And it says, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I don't care what the preacher's saying. Let's just peg him with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And so, again, they made a mistake. So they murmured. They mulled over a new plan. And they made a mistake by not listening to the preacher. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And what this is in context is basically Paul telling the children, or not the children, but the people at the church of Corinth about the people of Israel. So in context, is this preaching here, or writing here, is to the church at Corinth from Paul, but he's talking about the people we just read about. And saying, look, just like I've been alluding to the fact, God is God. His power's right there. Don't resist it. Let Him take care of it. And so he's using this as an example. And so verses 1 through 5 of chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the seas. I mean, there was a time where God was leading the people with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I want you to know this. In verse 2, and we're all baptized into Moses. In other words, they were following Moses. They were listening to Moses' preaching. They were following Moses' guide and things like that. And in the cloud of the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And so when it fell from heaven, they all ate it. And they all did drink the same spiritual drink. For the drink they drank that of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock just followed along. And how would you like to have been the guy in the back of the line? And you hear cluck, 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 cluck. And you look back, all it is a rock. And you take a few more steps, cluck, 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 cluck. And here comes the rock, that spiritual rock. And he's like, they ate meat from heaven. They drank water out of a rock. But verse 5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. So here's the problem. He's like, God could have delivered them way faster than 40 years. God could have gave them that place a long time before they got there. But they were murmuring. They were mulling over new plans. They were making mistakes and so forth and not listening. And it says here they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so God had to teach them. Now let's go to Hebrews 3. Again, same thing being preached about the same situation. So the first time we see that they murmured, they mulled over new plans, and they made mistakes, and then Paul, they got preached about. They were that sermon illustration. And again, that's what, a lot of things should keep us right with God. But one of those things is being a statistic. There's this many people that's turned their back on God, or there's this many people that's out of the will of God now, or there's this many preachers that, again, I don't want to be the statistic. There was the statistic there that Paul was using. Don't be like these people. Trust God. And then over in chapter 3 of Hebrews, we'll start reading in verse 7. In verse 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they all do always err, in their hearts and have not known my ways. I had the power. I could have shown them. Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is today, or while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. And it says, but with whom was grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So again, so all that right here to say, just like it said in Numbers, let the power of God be the power of God. Don't be like these people. Don't disobey. Don't doubt. Don't do anything like that. And so, just like salvation, God's not going to force salvation on anybody. It's not His will that any should perish. But it says, if you call upon my name, if you come to me, He will save you. But He's not going to force it. So same thing with His power. He's not going to force feed us His power. He was like, I got it right here. I can help you with the situation. I can help you with that problem. I can help you with that doubt. I can help you, and we can just keep on going down the list. But you got to believe me. You got to not doubt. You got to let me do it. And so He's not going to force that. So the Bible says in Psalm 78:41, it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So there's an example of people not allowing God's power to be God's power. They turned their back and they said, I don't want it. I want to figure it out myself. Here's my new plan. I want to do this. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. And of course, there's other verses in the Bible where it says, kind of paraphrasing here, that we can tie God's hands. We limit the Holy One of Israel. So our doubt, our unbelief, our pride, all that kind of stuff limits that power. So by the way of introduction, we're going to look at a couple people here that learn that lesson or preach that lesson, and then we'll get to the 4 points and we'll be finished. So number one, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. Samuel had learned this, that the power of God is right there for the taking or for the using, for the trusting, and it's found in 2 Samuel 22:33. It says this, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. So Samuel learned, if I'll just get back and let God have His will and way, His power will make my way perfect. Anytime we get over there and try to help figure it out on our own, on our own, or try to help God out, we're just limiting Him. Let God be God. Let the power. It's kind of like our two twins. They a little bit while ago, they're not as bad now. But when they were, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, their little phrase, both of them, so it was in stereo, I got it. They didn't want you to do anything for them. I'll strap you in the car seat. I got it. I'll unstrap you from the car seat. I got it. I'll help you up the stairs. Got it. I mean, they would just say, got it. Got it. And why? Because they thought they had it figured out. Well, they were three. I mean, I'd lived 3 years. I know how to do anything. And so that's just inside of us. So when we're trying to fix something or go through something, I got it. I got it. We're limiting God. I want to say, go ahead. I'll just follow along with you. I've made enough mistakes. I've goofed up enough. I've made a mess of enough situations. I ain't got it. You go ahead. I'll just follow you. And that's what Samuel realized. Here I am beating my head against the rock, trying to figure out, trying to make people do, trying to do this, that, and the other. I'm letting go and letting God. And that's what he's saying here. Let the power of God be the power of God. If something happens great in our lives, it ought to be the power of God, not us. Something happens great here at this church, it'll be the power of God, not us. Now, we got to do our part. But Samuel learned, hey, God is my strength and the power which maketh my way perfect. I don't got it. Secondly, Jesus taught this. Obviously, he was God in the flesh, but he also taught this. A couple of verses underneath this one. Matthew 22:29 says this, Jesus said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And so when Jesus was talking to his disciples, when he was talking to people on the earth, he's like, you're making a mistake. How? Because you don't know the Bible and you don't know what the power of God can do. You're trying to figure it out on your own. Go to the Word of God and let God's power do it. Jesus taught this in Matthew. Luke 24:49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so he was telling his disciples, I want you to go spread the gospel. I want you to go get the word out. But you just wait right here till you get the power of God. Because if you're a talky person, you can make a conversation with that door over there, you still don't have the power of God. I can't convince anybody to be saved. God's power, the Holy Spirit has to draw them. He does all that. I just have to say it. I'm just the mouthpiece. Let God's power be the power. Don't try to do it yourself. Acts 1:8, we've read it before. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus taught these things. Know the Scripture, know the power of God. So you stay right here till you get the power of God. And you shall be witnesses to Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Paul taught this. In Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Very, very famous quote. And the next part of it is this, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first as also to the Gentile. So Paul, we see his missionary journeys. We see all the churches that he started. We could tag him with probably the best soul winner this side of Jesus that the Bible shows us. But Paul didn't say, hey, yep, that's right. I was the great Apostle Paul. I started all these churches, and if it wasn't for me, even America wouldn't have the gospel. And so on and so on, taught faithful men and so forth. I'm all that. No. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll preach it. I'll teach it. I'll use it. But for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's power that does it. So if we're living in God's power, we can't help but be a soul winner. We can't help but be concerned with the entire world. We can't help but not be ashamed of the gospel if we're living in God's power. So, if we are, if we're either living in God's power or we're living in our own power. The Bible talks about this, 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of people that they live their Christian life based on how they think, how they feel, and it's all about them. Very pharisaical. Look at me, what I got it figured out. But they're denying the power of God. A person that's living in the power of God, they will quickly give God the credit. I'm nothing on my own. Anything good about me is just what Jesus has put in here. My salvation, things that He uses me for. So if we're living in the power of God, we will quickly do that. So we're either living in God's power, or our own power, and like we talked about this morning, or the devil's power. I'll give you a couple verses under that. Titus 1:16 says this, they profess that they know God. So a lot of people, oh yeah, I know God. Yeah, me and God, we're tight. We have an understanding. But it says here, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. So we see that these people that live in the power of the devil, but they say they're in the power of God, are reprobates. They're messed up. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which they could not, that is not convenient. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself where you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. So we said we should know that we're under the power of God. So all of that was introduction. Here's my 4 points. How to live, or how to make sure that you're living in God's power. How to live to make sure that you're living in God's power. Before I give you the 4 points, I'll give you a couple examples here. It'll be so obvious that you're in the power of God. It'll be kind of like this, and I wrote down a few things. It's kind of like if we went outside and we were going to try to communicate. And so we built a fire and we started using smoke signals. All right. There's probably nobody around here that knows how to read that. We probably couldn't get the fire going. I don't know. We probably could throw some gas on it, but we'll get that going. But anyway, it'd be kind of like I'm trying to communicate in smoke signals to the whole world. Or you go out there, and some of you military, you might know Morse code. So you start tap, 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 tap. But again, that would limit who knows what you're saying. And then, you know, a smoke signal versus this. Now, obviously, you have to have signal. There's a couple spots here in Kentucky that you have no signal, so you'd probably be better off using smoke signals. All right, but anyway, that's what I'm saying. Trying to communicate with smoke signals to somebody in California when you could just pick up this and call them. All right, that's you trying to do whatever it is you're trying to do without God. Lo and behold, you put God in the situation, and boom, there's the power. That's one example. Another one is this. If you're walking or riding, all right, to California. We're talking about all the way across. Why would you do that? There's people that have done it. I just like to walk. All right, forest, what in the world? All right, you know, keep on running. Why in the world? When you could get in a car, and that would take a while, or you could even do more than that. You could get in a plane, and you'd be there like that. So when we're trying to do our own life without God's power, it's like walking to California, as opposed to being in God's power and flying to California. It's that much difference. It's that much obvious. I used to tease with my brother a lot because I grew up back in the day with my dad moving mobile homes. And then he grew up moving mobile homes with my dad. And so it was so much more obvious that I had to actually work and he didn't. And he was like, oh, that's crazy. And I tried to convince him that when my dad and I, we moved a trailer, I was the, you know, the moan backer, I was the watcher, I was all that kind of stuff. And when we would go to move a trailer, he would say, okay, get a jack and get a board, which would be about this size, and jack that trailer up, level it. My brother, he had what they called a platypus, a jade machine, a trans lift. Basically, it's a remote control little bulldozer that you drive under the thing and pick it up, and it's level. I mean, it took us hours to do a leveling job, where it took them minutes. And again, we would go around a curve. I'd have to jack up both sides of the trailer, put a come along out in the woods, pull the trailer off the jacks, and it would move over 6 inches. Where they had the jade machine click, turn the wheel sideways, and he could just drive the end of the trailer around. I'm like, so don't even talk to me. All right? I had to do so much more work. And so it was that much obvious, though. So again, when you're trying to do something without God's power, it's going to be like you're trying to use smoke signals. It's going to be like you're walking to California. Where, why would you want to do that? Get God's power. Let God's power be. And you'd be like flying or talking on the phone. So number one, how do we let God's power be God's power? By number one, by taking the prodding. By taking the prodding. We all need to be prodded. We're all prideful. We're all stubborn. Again, I have worked with cattle before, and I've seen prod sticks or just prod sticks, and I've seen electric prod sticks. They really don't like those, but they will really move. And so we need the prodding. We need the pushing. And that's what Moses and Aaron were trying to do. They were trying to prod. Stop. Don't think this way. Quit murmuring. Quit making new plans. Stop. Let God be God. They were trying to prod them, but they wouldn't hear it. But if we're going to let God's power be the power of God, we've got to take the prodding. The prodding is basically a push or a persuade. And so, obviously it'll be a whole lot easier. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So that's what Moses was doing. God can take you out. I'm trying to persuade you. I'm trying to prod you. All preachers are that way. So how do we take the prodding? By number one, or A underneath number one, from the preaching. We got to listen. We got to listen to preaching. I love listening to preaching. I'll listen to it on my phone. I'll listen to it in my truck. I'll listen to it online. I like to hear preaching. Why? Because the Bible says it's the power of God. It's being released. Not listening to preaching, I'm trying to send a smoke signal. Listening to the preaching, I'm talking on the cell phone. Listening to preaching, learning from the preaching, loving the preaching. 1 Corinthians, I just quoted some of it. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Ah, preaching. They don't know what they're talking about. Oh, they think they're better than themselves or better than everybody else. They think they got this. That. But unto us which are saved, what does it say? It is the power of God. So how do we release that power? By listening to preaching. By learning from preaching. By loving preaching. Again, I'm excited about our revival. Come on, Brother Sellers. Preach to me. I love it. Why? It's the power of God. It's released through the preaching. So first of all, we saw by taking the prodding by the preaching. And then from the Bible reading. First, here we go. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So we've got to learn from the Bible. This is releasing the power of God early in the day, early in our life, early in our relationships, early in the ministry. All this, what? It's the power of God. So we saw, I guess last Wednesday night, we talked about resisting the devil. How did we do it? Through the two-edged sword. The power of God. So how do we release the power of God? By loving the preaching. By reading the Bible. And then number three, by listening to the Holy Spirit. How do we take the prodding? From the preaching, from the Bible reading, and listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a little bit different. We think, when we think power, we think loud. We think big. We think, you know, it's going to be obvious. But that's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19:12, the Holy Spirit works quietly. So power can be quiet. Again, most of the time, you know, you go up to a door, you knock on a door, and if there's two dogs in the yard, you know, you send, you know, Brother Dave first or Brother Jimmy first, and let them. We had a couple yesterday that sniffed us and barked at us. But usually, the ones that bark don't even have to worry about them. You know, they sound like they're the most powerful. Roar, roar, roar. And they're gone. It's the ones that make no noise that you better watch out for. They will take your calf out. All right? Because they're just quiet, going about their business, but they'll work. So we see here, just because something's loud doesn't mean it's powerful. 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake, something powerful and loud and obvious, and after the fire, right here from the Bible, 1 Kings 19:12. And after the earthquake, something loud and powerful and boisterous, then a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. So again, it's just like my dad could be loud, but there were some times he was quiet and said maybe just a small phrase. But it spoke volumes to me, even though it wasn't loud. Kind of like, you do that again and they'll never find your body. Oh, yes, sir. All right. It wasn't loud. It wasn't boisterous. But it spoke volumes. Sir, yes, sir. Whatever I need to do. All right. So the Holy Spirit is powerful even though He speaks in a small, still voice. The Holy Spirit is also, He will prod us. He will prod us quickly. Quietly and quickly. The Holy Spirit can bring a verse to your mind quickly. The Holy Spirit can bear witness to you when you hear preaching that's right or wrong. You hear a song that's right or wrong. The Holy Spirit says, that's not it. Oh, that's it. And they, quickly, by pointing out something that He wants you to do, by letting us know what we should say, by there's a person that we want to witness, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So how do we release the power of God? Through the prodding of the preaching, the Bible reading, and the Holy Spirit. Number two, how do we let the power of God be the power of God? By taking the prodding, but then secondly, by asking for the power. By asking for the power. The Bible talks about God liking to show Himself mighty, liking to show His strong arm, liking to show His protection, like a chicken with her wings out coming here. God likes that. And God likes to be asked. I need your help. I want you to help me. Ephesians 2:20 says this, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's got that power. And we can release it by listening to the prodding, but we can release it by asking for it. God, I'm struggling in this issue. I really need your help. Be glad to. That's what He's saying. Ask me. I'll help you. And again, just like the people and the children out in the wilderness, we're hungry. There's some manna. We're thirsty. There's some water from the rock. You know, we're about to get killed by this. Let's open up the sea. Go across the sea. Okay, I'll drown them. That's all they had to do was ask. And he did all that, and then they still got out there and forgot that and started murmuring again. So how many things do we have to see? Let's ask God for His power. His power is not just power for us. Okay? It was power for everybody. So I'll give you a couple of illustrations. And of course, you know all these. All right? In that crossing of the Red Sea, what did Moses do? He raised the rod. I think the rod maybe gets a little bit more credit than it should. It wasn't the rod. It was God. So again, that's the power of God. Same thing here. We get Elijah's prayer. Pray a little bit louder. Y'all's God may be asleep. You know, maybe he's out of town. Okay, put the water that was supposed to be on theirs on mine. Oh, and then bring some more. And then obviously he prayed. Woof! Fire came down. But the power wasn't in Elijah's prayer. The power was in God. So we have to ask for it. That's all Elijah was doing. The power wasn't in Samson's hair. The power was in God. Now, obviously, we get to talk about that hair. He finally got tricked out of it, and they cut his hair, and he lost his strength. But it was God the one that was giving him the strength. And so the power is not in these things that we talk about, Moses' rod or Elijah's prayer or Samson's hair. The power is in God. Same thing here. I am for standards. I am for convictions. I am for principles. I'm for you walking with God. But if you have every standard that you can have according to the Bible, and you have every conviction that you can have according to the Bible, and you have principles out the wazoo, wherever that is, and you walk with God, that's not where the power comes from. The power comes from Him. Now, those will help you, and God will bless you for having those things. But again, I don't pray and then get up and zap stuff. Okay? I think you should pray. But my prayer is not the power. It's God that I'm praying to that has the power. So how do we release the power of God? Number one, by taking the prodding. Number two, by asking for the power. Number three, by giving place to God rather than the devil. We saw that this morning. God gives us life in the way of life. The devil gives us that alternate lifestyle. So what we have to do is give place. You're going to have both options. Guarantee. If it's something that's powerful like that, you're going to have both options to choose from. The devil will show up. It's kind of like when you're trying to quit something or do something different, the devil's going to make sure that temptation's there. He's going to make sure that that opportunity's there. Ephesians 4:27, of course, we saw Wednesday night we're supposed to resist him. We can be submitted to God, but if we don't resist, we're going to fall. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. So don't give him an inch. Why? Because he'll take the mile. The devil will. His power's right there. So how do we release the power of God? By don't give the devil place. So the Bible says neither give place to the devil in Ephesians 4:27. It also says in Matthew 9:24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Of course, we know this story. The little girl had passed away. And Jesus walked up and said, give place. In other words, make some room. Give me some room. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And of course, they laughed. No way. She's dead. But all of a sudden, she wasn't. So we see two places in the Bible. The Bible says neither give place to the devil, but we ought to give place to the Lord. Acts 27:41. And falling into place, where two seas met. If you read this story, of course, this is when the ship was just demolished. But God has said, you're going to make it to the other side. And they were like, oh, there's a storm. We're not going to make it to the other side. No, God said, you're going to make it to the other side. And the power got them to the other side. Well, here's our ship's been broken apart. Well, what'd some of them do? Oh, here's a piece of wood. But it wasn't the piece of wood that got them to the other side. It was God's power. So give place when those two seas met together. God's in control of the weather. He's in control of the seas. So trust God and His power. And they came, some on boards and some on broken pieces. So give place to God and trust Him, and everything will fall into place. Don't trust yourself. Don't try to figure it all out. Take the prodding, ask for the power, give place to the devil, and lastly, Here's a good one. Then praise. Then praise. I don't want to be the kind that takes the prodding and lets the power go. Ask for the power and God gives it. And then, you know, give place for God to work and then take the credit. I don't want to do that. I want to praise Him. All glory be to God. And the Bible says in Psalm 21:13, "Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise Thy power." So again, how do we release the God's power? Moses was saying, "Let God's power be in you. Let Him take care of it." How? By taking the prodding, by asking for the power, by giving place for God to work, and then when He does, praise Him. So when we're trying to figure it out, if we're trying to figure out our job situation, give it to God. Let Him work it out. If we're trying to figure out, some of you maybe have some children that are a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and they're making you want to pull your hair out. Obviously, do what the Bible says, but ask God for His power. In your marriage, ask God for His power. In your job, ask God for His power. In your place of service, give place and let God have His power. So, just like Moses and Aaron, again, I'm not telling you I've got it all figured out. I've got any power that I can give you, but I do have a God that has all the power. So take the prodding, ask for the power, and give Him place to work. And then when He does, give Him all the credit because He deserves it. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's all stand. We'll have a short invitation. If there's something in your life you need to pray about, come ask God for the power. If there's some situation you're going through, come ask God for the power. Altar is open. Let God's power be in us.